Beautiful, and thank you for worshiping the Lord today. I know the Lord heard that, heard your worship. If you have your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. We'll probably read verse 7. I'm going to ease into this. It was so weird. I thought I was going to go one way today, and I've had different topics on my mind, but I always want to yield to the Lord and preach what he gives me. And all week long, Acts chapter 2, about Pentecost, the Lord kept talking to me about Pentecost. And of course, you know, we're not in Pentecost season right now. And, you know, the day of Pentecost has tongues in it. And I know a lot of people get weary of hearing about tongues, and it scares some people. It doesn't scare me. It's such a blessing to me to be able to speak in tongues. Such a blessing. I thank God for it. I thank God I speak in tongues more than y'all, you know. How many here has ever done that, spoken in an unknown tongue? Raise your hand high. Let's see it. See, it's not just me. It's a lot of us. It's a gift of God. And I'll talk a little bit about it, but, you know, I don't think it's the focus of my topic today, but it's actually a great gift that God gives. And the devil has done so many things to try to get this out of the church. Scares people, puts religion on people, misinterprets scripture. Because it's such a powerful thing to be able to pray to God in a language that he understands and to pray mysteries to God. And it's not my message today, but I'm just going to say this. To pray mysteries to God, unknown things. We walk by faith and not by sight. So if God just gave you everything that was going to happen tomorrow, think about this, in your life, just told you, this is going to happen tomorrow, A, B, and C, and D, it wouldn't take any faith, would it? Would it? God said, "This is," and then next week, this is going to happen. We know in part, and we prophesy in part. We get pictures, we get pieces, but that's how God does it, because we walk by faith. Now, you can get a clear vision. You can know the direction you're going. God can tell you many things, but a lot in your life will unfold over time. Isn't it that way? Isn't that just the way it is? We have the Word of God to guide us. God will speak to us in the Word and guide us. But the beautiful thing about speaking in unknown tongues or this heavenly language is that you're able to pray out God's perfect will totally. Isn't that beautiful? Now, you know the devil would absolutely not want you to do that. He would absolutely try to snooker you out of that gift. Fear, embarrassment, shame, religion. He would try to snooker you out of that because he knows. And some of you that are baptized in the Holy Spirit, I told the Lord I'd yield to him today, and so I'm going to. Some of you that are baptized in the Holy Spirit and you never pray in your heavenly language, you know, no shame on you, no condemnation. You are depriving yourself of the ability to talk directly to God in a perfect prayer. But it's still by faith because you don't know what you're saying. So God gets to cheat for you. Think about this. God gets to cheat for you in his faith system. He's not allowed just to say, Jesse, you're going to go to California next year and you're going to do this and you're going to hook up with these and you're going to do this. He's not allowed because he wants you to walk by faith and not by sight. And he's not going to cheat that. But he can cheat the system. He's rigged the system that you can pray out his perfect will out of your spirit in an unknown language. It's tongue, people. Tongue, it's a language. Shamaruko sikabakasha. God is with us, and his glory is with us too. It's an unknown language that you pray, and when it prays out of you, you're praying the mysteries of God about your life. And so when you come onto those situations and circumstances where you need God's assistance, or you need a miracle, or you need an answer, or you need direction, or you need something for, you've already prayed about it. Isn't that beautiful? If I was the devil, I would try to snooker you out of it. Any way I could. I'd lie to you, I'd cheat you, I'd embarrass you, I'd confuse you, I'd do whatever I could. Because, and those of you, as I was saying, that do have this ability that don't do it, you're being really snookered. You're going to be worse off when you realize, when you say, oh my goodness, I had this power of God, I had this ability from the Heavenly Father, and I never took advantage of it. And had I done it, I could have got so much further in my walk with God. Don, to glorify God, to do God's will, to walk in his path for my life, to give God glory, just like he said. But that's not what my message is about today. My message is about the Holy Spirit. And as I was praying, God kept talking to me this week about Pentecost. And so I want you to talk about Pentecost and what happened on Pentecost. And I'm saying, you sure, Lord? I mean, we've been over this stuff. We talked about it. And last night, I had a dream. And I believe it was a dream from the Lord. And in my dream, I was in a house. It was a three-story house. And me and Pam and a couple others, we were in the middle of this house. And all of a sudden, there was hurricane-like winds. We were in Ohio. We weren't in Florida. We weren't in anywhere near the coast. We were in somewhere like Ohio. And they said, there are hurricane-like winds. The winds, get this, are 120 miles an hour. Does that mean anything to anybody? 120? How many people were in the upper room? 120 people upper. And very clearly in my dream, the wind was 120 miles an hour. And me and Pam and some others are there. And all of a sudden the room starts shaking. And then there's like cracks. And I'm thinking the roof is going to blow off at this place. And water starts dripping down. And there's this shaking going on in the room. A violent, powerful wind is rushing in there. Then the wind stops and we're on the street. And all of a sudden, there's like a river that's flowing. And all these pigs are being washed out down this river, going out, being washed away. And I'm thinking, boy, the lady that owns that house is going to have a hard time rounding up all those pigs. Amen? No, I don't know. I don't know if you know this, but pigs are unclean. Okay? In the Bible, pigs are unclean. And they weren't allowed to eat pork. And I think Muslims still aren't allowed to eat pork. And I really believe what God was showing me, and it's really part of the two-part lesson that God had already given me, and I'll go over it. Part of the purpose of the Holy Spirit filling us, there's more than one purpose, but part of it is because God, when His power comes in, the pigs go out. When His power comes in, the unclean stuff goes out of your life. I remember when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. Do you know I struggle with pornography and looking at inappropriate things my whole life? And in one moment, when I got filled with the Holy Spirit, those pigs went right out of me. They were washed right down the river. Just totally free from it. And with no condemnation. I know some you in here smoke, and I'm not trying to bring you in condemnation for what you do, but God must not have wanted me to, because in 1 second, cigarettes were just washed right out of my life. I didn't try to quit. Didn't ask God to quit. That habit that I was addicted to was just washed out of my life, just like that. It was gone. Boom, gone. God did a cleansing in me through the power of the Holy Spirit. And I got insanely crazy hungry for my Bible, because I realized, and I've talked about this before, we're going to get into some stuff. I realized that if the Holy Spirit's real and the power of God is real, then the Bible also is real. The whole thing, all the way from Genesis to Revelation. And I got very hungry, and I started, and then I've talked about my testimony before the trials came. But I really believe what the Lord was showing me, He wanted me to preach this message, number one, about the Holy Spirit coming, and the power of God coming into that house, the 120, and the power shook the house. There are times when we're quiet before God. Today, I love today's worship. We get quiet, and we're in the presence of God, and He comes and fills. But sometimes God's not quiet. Did you know that? I'm going to read a few things. In chapter 1, verse 7, He says, "It's not for you to know the times or epochs which the Father has fixed in His own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." Now get this. This goes right along with the word that I hope you're listening today. This goes right along with what Don said. "And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the utter part of the earth." One reason, I'm going to give at least three today, at least three. But one reason, and I talked about this last week, and God's not done with it. One reason God pours out the Holy Spirit on us is He wants you to have power. And I'm sorry, it's not just power, and I'm not saying this against anybody. I love people. It's not just power so you can have your best life now. God does want you to have your best life now, but He wants you to have your best life now as a witness and as a power and as a testimony to Jesus Christ. He wants to fill you with purpose. I had a card someone wrote last week, and I just love their honesty. They said, my life seems to be without purpose. And I said, God has the answer for that. God has the answer for that. God has made you before the worlds were ever born. Before anything ever came into existence, God saw you, and he has a purpose for your life. And part of that purpose is he wants to fill you with his power. And in that power, he wants to make you a witness. Now, being a witness is not always going door knocking or telling somebody that Jesus loves them. He wants to put his power in your life so you can walk on scorpions and snakes. You can walk above sin. Listen, if you're bound by sin, God wants to fill you with the Holy Spirit. He wants to give you power and drive that right out of your heart. He wants to drive it right out of your life. He wants to make you a witness. He doesn't want you bound the day you get born again, and 20 years you're still bound with that same sin. That is not God's will for your life. It is the doctrine of the devil to make the gospel ineffectual to deliver you from your sins. When the Bible in dozens and dozens of places says that you have been delivered. You have been set free. You've actually died to your old self, and you've died to your sin. You're a new creation, and you're full of the Holy Spirit, and you're delivered from that stuff. And God wants you to know it. The Word of God says you'll walk on snakes and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, I've given you that power. But folks, we don't walk in this in our own ability, in our own striving, in our own self-effort. God's been showing me and teaching me, and it's taken however long I've been filled with the Spirit. It's when we come into a place of deep faith and rest. When we really believe the Word of God, we believe that, just like Don said, God is with us. He's been with us all along. He's orchestrating your life. He's with you. When you really stand in that moment and rest, how else are you going to be able to stand against all your enemies unless you have a rest of faith? Many times in the scripture, the Bible tells you stand still. Stand still and see the salvation of God. In our generation, one of the hardest things to do is to stand still. Just be still. Believe God that he is going to deliver you. Charlie, I remember when I saw you in a sick bed, I thought you were done. Oh, me of little faith. This was about 4 or 5 years ago. I thought Charlie was about done. He was believing God and speaking the scripture. I said, surely, Lord, and Charlie's checking out here. I don't know if you remember. You had yellow and you had sickness and stuff. And then I saw Charlie like 6 months later. He looked just like he does now. Better. Even better. I won't even tell him, Charlie, what we talked about last night. He's looking even better, you know, and I was like, you know, he was trusting God. He was standing still, believing that God wasn't done with him yet. God took Charlie right out of a bed of affliction where he couldn't even walk. He had to have 2 Honduran brothers flip him over and wash him because he couldn't move, paralyzed. A lot of people giving him up, saying, surely Charlie's done this time. But Charlie's like a weeble. He wobbles, but he don't fall down. Just keeps on coming back, and he'll do that until God's done with him. Amen? Until God's done, and it's his time to go. But that's the power that we have, and part of that ability God wants to give you. I really believe when we come to rest and a deep abiding faith in God, and I left last week, and I felt a little bit of condemnation, like, God, I'm not trying to throw condemnation out there. I could tell you all day, witness, 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 and you would go out and it wouldn't change your behavior one bit. You still wouldn't share your faith. You still wouldn't share Jesus. Me scolding you or encouraging you is not going to get the job done. What's going to get the job done is a surrender of your heart to Jesus, falling in love with Jesus, dedicating yourself to God, becoming full of his Spirit, and going out into your world at rest and at peace and just letting God flow out of you. It's not your struggle. It's why a lot of you have given up on it, because you struggled so hard to be a witness. You struggled so hard to share your faith and do these things. You just gave up on it. God doesn't want it to be hard. If you could sum it up, the songs we sang today about the presence of the Lord, if you could sum it up simply, is God wants you to love him with all your heart and might, to get in his presence and love him, worship him, and adore him, be filled with him, and then take that out into your world. Amen?
Amen.
And when that happens, those sins will go to sin is annihilated in the presence of God. Darkness always flees in the presence of light. Always. So if we're in the presence of God, and if our temple is filled with God, darkness is naturally going to flee our life. I'm confused. Don't be. Get in the presence of God, and darkness will flee. So Jesus said, go and wait, and you will have power. Now let's flip over to Acts chapter 2, and this is really where I wanted to get. And actually, I'm not even going to preach the whole message because I can't. We're going to worship God a little bit more before we leave today. But I want to bring you somewhere. If I could do one thing with my preaching or even my life, even telling my stories that I tell, is I would want to make you thirsty. If I could somehow make you thirsty, if I could somehow make you hungry for more of God, I think a real witness, Charlie, is when you see somebody else, and I don't know if that's me or maybe somebody in this room, but when you see somebody else and you say, I've got to have what they have. I've got to have that peace with God that they have. That person gets their prayers answered. There's something different about them. I have got to have what that person has. That person has love and joy flowing out of their life and fruit. If we can make people hungry and thirsty, folks, people in the world are hungry and thirsty. I get so disappointed. I see people peel off of Christianity and they go chase the New Age. It's all false. It's all devilish. The New Age is devilish. It's Christless. It's godless. It will not take you to heaven. No New Age crystal, no New Age philosophy died for your sins. And without Jesus, you are a sinner. Period.
Amen.
Someone say amen.
Preach on, brother.
But you got Jesus, right? So you don't need a New Age crystal. I hate to see people fall for New Age because it's very appealing. It promises a lot and delivers very little. No, we need something beyond that. We need a real touch, power, and presence of God. So when we go into the world, we have a fragrance that attracts. We have a love pouring out of us. And it's not, you can't fake it. It really comes from God. It really comes from his presence. It really comes from being with him. It really comes from surrender. It really comes from saying, God, I am living for your glory and not my own. There's no substitution for it. You just can't fake it. You can try to be good. You can try to do these things, but there's no substitution for the presence and power of God in our life. Someone say amen.
Amen.
Don't make me preach mad. Amen. I'm not mad. I'm happy. And on the day of Pentecost, when it had fully come, they were together in one place, and suddenly, this is just like my dream, there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting, and there appeared to them tongues as of fire, and it distributed on all of them, and it rested on each of them, and they were all, someone say, filled. Come on, filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance, or the Spirit gave them ability. It goes on. I wish I could read the whole chapter. I wish I could read the whole book of Acts. I read the whole book of Acts this week, and I can't read it this morning. In verse 17, he says, Peter is quoting the book of Joel, and he says, it shall be in the last days, God says, that I will pour forth my Spirit upon all mankind or upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my bond slaves, both men and women, I will in those days pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. So Peter is quoting Joel, and there's a lot here that I can't get into. But he's quoting Joel, and this was prophesied. God said in the last days, we are in the last days. The Bible says God would pour out his Spirit on sons and daughters. Are you a son and a daughter? Then either God has or God wants to. He's poured out his Spirit on us. We are sons and daughters. When we are sons and daughters, there's a supernatural element that automatically comes to your life. You shouldn't fight it. You shouldn't resist it. There's a supernatural element. Guys, how big is the Holy Spirit? Huh? How big's the Holy Spirit? What is there that the Holy Spirit, do you think it was Peter that was raising people from the dead? You think it was Paul that was raising people from the dead? No, it was the Holy Spirit. They had hooked up to a power greater than themselves. They were operating in another world, in another power. That violent, rushing, mighty wind, where did it go? It went inside of them. Woo! Everybody ever shake a little bit when the Lord gets on you? You're just getting a little quiver of that violent, rushing, mighty wind. I've seen people just totally freak out when the Holy Ghost gets on them because that wind became violent on the inside. They've even embarrassed me a few times. What is wrong with that dude? There was a violent, rushing, mighty wind that got inside of him, and stuff happened. You ever seen it? It's kind of fun. Amen. Yeah, it's kind of fun sometimes. We've been in those circles. But there's a power from the other world. It got inside of them. When the Spirit got inside of them, they began to prophesy. They began to dream dreams. I guess I'm an old man because it says old men will dream dreams. I haven't had any open visions, but I've had a lot of dreams. So I must be in that old man. You young people, you can have visions, okay? I'll have my dreams. But it's all these things would happen because of the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And it did not stay, as I preached last week, it did not stay in those four walls. That's very artificial. That's very American. That's very religion. That's very Christianity religion type stuff, that it all just stays in the... Don't let anybody in your workplace know you believe in Jesus. And God forbid you should let them know till you go to that church up on the hill, okay, or wherever it is. Or God forbid you should know that you believe in miracles or that God is alive today. Just keep it quiet. Keep it down. Don't say anything. It'll all go away. Just keep it nice and quiet. That's not what the Holy Spirit does. He, being a witness, God wants to take your life, put you in the most ridiculous circumstances, and get glory out of it. You ever heard of Daniel in the lion's den? You ever heard of the children of Israel at the Red Sea? You ever heard of Joshua walking around Jericho? He put the people in the most ridiculous circumstances, and then he delivered them. And Don, your word was so right on. The Bible says we're destined for trials. We're destined for tribulation. We're destined for affliction. These things are going to come our way. But that didn't Paul said, but God delivered me out of all of them. Paul even said, God shut the mouth of the lion. He was in Ephesus. He said, God shut the mouth of the lion. He delivered me from every affliction, and he will take me to his eternal kingdom. That is his faith. And folks, that's you. God is going to deliver you to his eternal kingdom. He wants his power on you in the context of your life. Wherever your life is, on your job, on your work, in your marriage, in your situation, God wants you to be a supernatural Christian. He wants you to be a Christian that's in contact with another world. When you're a Christian, you start seeing things that other people don't see. Paul said in 1 Corinthians, people are going to say you're crazy. You're hearing from God. All you hear voices, I hear from God. God talks to me. Does God talk to you? The word says, my sheep hear my voice. You're going to hear from another world. When you read the word of God, it'll speak to you and give you direction. The Holy Spirit will give you a dream. The Holy Spirit will give you a word of knowledge. When you step out, all this week, God, when I stepped out, God's talked to me, using me in the context of my everyday life, and it's not hard. It's a surrender. It's a yielding, and it's an allowing. Really, to me, Don has come to just being in a place of rest and saying, God, you be God. I'm in it to win it. I'm hooked up. I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to stay in this thing, Lord. I'm not going anywhere. The walls can shake. They can almost break. They can shake around. But God, I want to be faithful to what you're asking me to do. I'm just going to stand right here. Someone say amen. That's the power of God. Last scripture, that's all I got time for today. There's so much in here. And guys, really, on Wednesday nights, coming in October, we're going to teach on the kingdom of God, and we're going to talk about this stuff. On Wednesday nights, we have time to answer questions. We have time to slow down. We have time to go over doctrine. On Sunday morning, it's very difficult often because We just don't have time to dig into it like we need to. Come on Wednesday nights if you can. We're going to teach on divine healing in Sunday school coming up real soon. We need you guys to come to these classes to learn more about this. We can't cover it all on Sunday morning. But in Hebrews, you guys with me still?
Yeah.
Okay, because I'm almost ready to preach. Chapter 12, verse 18. Would you let me just preach a little bit? Okay. Chapter 12, verse 18. This is, I believe Paul wrote Hebrews. This is the writer of Hebrews, and he's saying to Christians, and get this, the day of Pentecost, this is something I wanted to bring out. The day of Pentecost is the day that the children of Israel received the law. Did you know that? Pentecost, God gave, in the old covenant, he gave them the law of Moses. Do this, don't do this, follow these rules, and I'll bless you. That happened on the day of Pentecost. What happened, you know, 2,000 years later, when the apostles were gathered, what did God pour out on that day? The Spirit. So now we have, you got the law of God that was given, and now we have the Spirit of God being poured out. That's why the writer of Hebrews says, in that day, God is going to write his law in your heart. God is going to put his law in your mind. You're not going to need something on tablets anymore. God's going to put his will right inside of you. You're not going to need anybody to teach you it. He said, I'm going to write my law right inside of you. So when the Spirit came, God's will, God's law, God's love, God's purpose, and really the love law is God's law, he poured that all right inside of you. Someone say, I already got it. You may not know it all, but you got it all. Woo! That was good. You may not know it all, but you got it all. Because the Holy Spirit's got it all, and he came on that day, and he poured out, and he got inside of you by the power of the Holy Spirit. He's inside of you, and he knows it all. That's why I, Shabbat, 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 that's why I pray in the Spirit, because I don't know it all. And I don't know all God's will, and you guys are a mystery to me sometimes, the church. And I got to pray in tongues to keep my sanity, okay? God, didn't I just preach on that last week? I sure did, and I got to go pray in tongues to get my sanity back. No, the reason I love the gift of tongues, I'm praying these mysteries, I'm praying things out, because I need the wisdom of God. I need God to speak to me. I need God to settle my mind. I'm getting buffeted. Anybody ever get buffeted? Did anybody ever tell you you're not going to make it? Anybody ever feel like no one likes you? Anybody ever feel like the world's against you? Anybody ever feel like nothing's going to succeed? Does anybody ever feel like your promise is never going to come? Does anybody ever have voices that tell them this whole thing's never going to work for you? It'll work for Brother Jesse, but it won't work for me. Anybody ever hear anything like that? That's why I pray in the Spirit. Say, Holy Ghost, what have you got to say? That's why I read my Bible and say, God, what have you got to say about this? Someone say amen.
Amen.
God loves you. He's rooting for you. He's poured his Spirit. He says in Ephesians 1, he gave you every spiritual blessing in Christ. You've already got it. You may not know it all, but you've got it all. Amen. Come on, it's the truth. I'm not trying to give you a pep talk. It's the truth. And you got it all inside. The kingdom of God is within you. The Holy Ghost is within you. The law of God is within you. Just got to walk in the Spirit. Follow the Lord. Worship him. Love him. He's going to take care of it all. I really believe if we just love God with all our heart, everything else is just going to work. It's like putting grease on the axle, you know? By the way, my zero turn isn't working. Can anybody fix? No, okay. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. No, I already got Marty. He's lined up. Okay, let me go on. For you have not come to a mountain that may be touched, and to a blazing fire, and to darkness and gloom and whirlwind. He's talking about when they gave the law, they came to the mountain, and there was darkness, there was fire, there was a whirlwind, there was lightning. That seems pretty serious, doesn't it? Like there is thunder on that mountain. That's why in the New Testament, that fire and the wind and all that's why it came. The same symbology when God gave the law. But this thing here is terrifying, okay? They were afraid to go up to that mountain because they were sinners, okay? And God was pouring forth his righteousness, saying, God said, I'm holy. This is what I'm like. And they're like, oh, we're not holy. And they're creeping away from the mountain, okay? Day of Pentecost is just the opposite. God's saying, you're not holy. And instead of being on a mountain, on tables of stone, zoop, put it right in you. That's why you can't sin real easy when you're a Christian. It bothers you. Didn't used to bother you. That's your problem. Now it bothers you. You got to go to that person and say, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. I was wrong. Because it bothers you. Because the Spirit is in you. That's good news. Whew, I could say so much more. And to the blast of the trumpet and to the sound of words, which sound those who heard begged that they would not be spoken to anymore. Like, please don't talk to us anymore. For they could not bear the command, even if a beast touches the mountain, it will be stoned. It was so terrible in the sight that Moses said, I am full of fear and trembling. Get this, church. But you have not come to Mount Zion, to the city, but you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God. You have come to the heavenly Jerusalem, to a myriad of angels. You have come to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, whose names are enrolled in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all. You have come to the spirits of righteous men made perfect. You have come to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to sprinkled blood, which speaks better things than the blood of Abel. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. And he goes on and says, you've received a kingdom. That's what it says. You have received a kingdom. God's kingdom is only on the earth now in as much as he's in you. What's really happened is we're seated with Christ in heavenly places. Because we're in Jesus, we are in the King. And because we're in the King, we're in the kingdom. One of these days, the whole shooting match is coming on earth and Jesus is going to rule and reign here. Amen? But already, in a sense, you're already in the kingdom. Because you're already in the King. And you can operate in the kingdom right now. You can operate in faith right now. You can operate in God's promises right now. You can walk and move in the King by moving in the Spirit. We're in the King. One of these days, that King's going to come back, and the Word of God says we're going to come back with him. Isn't that beautiful? Amen. I don't know when it's going to happen, but it's going to be a great thing. I don't want to miss it. Amen? So, folks, here is my plea today. It's 12 o'clock. Can we sing a song? Amen. Gideon and Dina, come on up. Please. I mean, I get that bossiness when I'm preaching. Folks, here's my heart's desire, and I believe it's God's heart's desire. Get full of the Spirit. I absolutely believe an initial evidence of being full of the Spirit, not the only one, but is the ability to pray in other tongues. If that throws you, don't let it throw you. If you've tried and asked God and you haven't done it, don't let it bother you. Just believe God for it. Believe that you're full of the Holy Spirit, and God's going to flow out of you. Someone say amen. But not only does God fill you with the Holy Spirit, but he also writes his law in your heart. He puts it right. And some of you are struggling. You need wisdom. You need power. You need ability to obey God. You're struggling with sin. You need some power from another world. Here's what we're going to do. I don't know how we want to do this.